All right, I want us to press forward in our teaching on the divine guidance and direction. And I'm going to ask you to go back with me. I'm not going to do a long recap. I want to press forward a little bit. I know I had said last week that I want us to do some sort of a major review. I'm still planning on that. I'm just not there yet. I don't have that release to do that yet. So we're going to do that in another couple of weeks or so. And we might take actually two major services to do that, just go over everything. So I trust God that you are taking notes and that you are going over some of these notes and that you are being blessed as you study the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. It's a lot of times the word that profits us is not the word that we know in our minds, is the word that we have processed through our spirit that has become an understanding, that has become a revelation in our lives. A word that within our heart we have been able to lay hold upon and that we have been able to grasp a hold of. Amen. And so that happens through meditation, happens through going over the word and just listening again and again and studying it out by ourselves. So yeah, today is Mrs. Omero's birthday. I don't know where in the world she is. I'm sure somebody knows. I just want to speak the blessing of God upon her in the name of Jesus. We speak the blessing and the favor of God upon her and upon her family. And her life is a miracle. It's a testimony that she is still here with us. Just a few years ago, cancer was supposed to have taken her out. But the Lord has kept her. And every day that she's alive, every new day that she's alive and breathing and healthy is a testimony that we shouldn't take for granted. So we rejoice over you, Mrs. Omero. We speak the blessings of God upon you. And we pray that the Lord continue to preserve your life and continue to bless you and your family in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, Psalms 27. Psalms 27 and from verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." The word light in Psalms 27 and verse 1 is the Hebrew word or. We've studied this and we've looked at quite a number of scriptures that shed some light on this particular word. But that word means light. It means guidance. It means wisdom. It means direction. It means understanding. It means illumination. It means revelation, and on like that. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The word salvation there means deliverance, protection, safety, freedom. Is the Hebrew word yesha. And it means salvation, prosperity, victory, rescue, welfare. If the Lord is our light, then he has room to be our salvation, our yesha. If the Lord is our guidance, if he's the one directing the course of our lives, then he has sufficient room to steer us and to bring us to the place that he has prepared for us. And so you can see there, the onus is really on us to see to it, to make sure that the Lord is our light. As long as the Lord is our light, then he can be our salvation. If the Lord is not our light, he cannot be our salvation. Amen. And well, what is the key? What is the key to receiving the guidance of the Lord? How do we enter into this light? I'm cutting off a whole lot of things because today is not our day for recap, extensive recap. What is that key to receiving the Lord's guidance and the Lord's direction? And it's the word in the Hebrew, galal, that means to commit. Amen? Amen. In Psalms 37 and verse 5, the Bible says, in verse 4, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In verse 5, it says, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Commit, commit, commit. What does the word commit mean? It means to roll it over unto the Lord. It's like almost like you're on the top of a mountain. You gather all these burdens, all these cares, all these and these things in your life that you are seeking direction for, and you roll it to the Lord, and you don't go back to take it. Amen. Amen. And committing our way to the Lord is something we should learn to do on a daily, regular basis. Don't wait until there's something big, you know, some big decision you need to make, you know, some big investment you want to make, some big direction you are seeking, and then now you want the Lord to, you know, shine his light on you. Just as a habit, on a regular, ongoing basis, commit. Just commit. Every day, Lord, I commit my day to you. This is your day. You gave me this day. I commit it to you. Help me do your will today. I commit myself to you. Help me to be pleasing to you. Help me find your way. Help me find your direction. Keep me, protect me as I go. I lift up my family to you. I commit them into your hands. I pray for my children. I pray for my loved ones. Lord, I pray for my parents. I pray for my my job, my business, my career, my ministry. Lord, I leave them all into your hands, and I put them into your hands. I ask, Father, you make the best decisions regarding this these different aspects of my life. You take absolute preeminence. Take absolute preeminence. I totally commit them into your hands. I believe, Father God, as your word has said, there are no coincidences in life. There are no coincidences in life. In Proverbs 16, that's the one verse that I'm yet to touch on, and I want to just read it very briefly as I move on today. We have read Proverbs 16, verse 1, that says in the Amplified, the plans of the mind and the orderly thinking belong to man, but from the Lord comes the wise answer of the tongue. We have read Proverbs 16, verse 3. In the Amplified, it says, roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Amen. Amen. Isn't that what we're all looking for? Yes. To have our plans established and succeed. We don't just want something, you know, we have a break and it doesn't last. We think we make, you know, we succeeded in something and then a few days later it's taken away from us. No, we want the blessings of God upon our lives to be established. I was so blessed by Wednesday service when the Lord took it over. And you know, I had to go back later to, you know, go over, and especially some of the scriptures that we finally read, which were obviously were nowhere even in my thoughts at all before that service. And I felt very strongly that the Lord was having us, in addition to ministering to his people and just, you know, just speaking a good word to encourage his people in different places who needed that strength. And I thank God for the so many different people who called in or wrote in later to talk about you know, how the Lord impacted their lives by that service. But in addition to that, I also felt like the Lord was having us put the emphasis on the power of the blessing, the power of the blessing of God. The blessing of God really makes us an unstoppable force. I just want you to know, to be blessed means that you are empowered to prosper. That's what it means. You're empowered to move forward. You're empowered to make progress. You're empowered to advance. The opposite of the blessing is the curse. The curse means you are empowered to be stopped. You are empowered to be subdued. You are empowered to go under. Amen. You are empowered to be limited. That's the curse. The curse is a power. It's a power from Satan himself. And it works through different channels, you know, works through, you know, different things, setups and princes and principalities that the enemy works through. And sometimes even through people who are unsuspecting, you know, sometimes that power of the enemy, the curse, can work through people who are unsuspecting. And but that curse really is a limiter. The curse, wherever the curse exists, it really stops the blessing flow. And it's, you know, you could be building, you could be growing, you could be moving forward and making advances in your vision, in your business, in the things that God has for you. And suddenly, or in your career, and suddenly something comes there just to try to block, you know, create a blockage. There are blessing blockers that are created by these curses. And but the Bible does say that the curse causeless cannot come. There is no ground for the curse to take hold of our lives. We are the blessed of the Lord. And I just want you to be reminded, you are blessed. This blessing covenant that the Lord made with Abraham from the very beginning, that blessing covenant is still here. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3:13-14, most of us know this scripture, it says Christ was made a curse for us. Amen. He's been made a curse for us because he hung on a tree. And the reason he did that was so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles who believe. That's you and me. Amen. That's the blessing of Abraham. So that blessing covenant is still here. It's still working with us. That blessing covenant is what made Joseph unstoppable. Amen. Anywhere he went, you can be sure the curse will be around, but the curse could not stop him. The curse was in the pit. It couldn't stop him, couldn't kill him. They took an evidence of his blood, but it really was not his blood. The blessing saw to it that there was a replacement. What was meant against him was turned around. Eventually was the blood of an animal that was presented to his father. Amen. And even though his father thought his son was dead, Joseph was alive and well.
Amen.
While the blessing preserved his life, the blessing kept him.
Amen.
In Potiphar's house, the curse couldn't stop him.
Amen.
The curse took him out of that place and put him over. The curse gave him the upper hand and gave him the vindication and the victory that he needed over that situation. In the prison, the curse couldn't stop him. Even though it was the curse that brought a lot of people in that prison there, the curse still could not stop him. I believe that we'll go back and look at some of those things. Because after that service, and I didn't know why, but the Lord just wanted us to put a lot of emphasis. Tell my people they are blessed, they can't be stopped. You cannot be cursed. You cannot be cursed. COVID, no matter what, pandemic, no matter, yeah, these things are real, they are tough. You know, the world is going through a hard time. But as God's people, you are blessed.
Amen.
I want you to have this confidence. You are blessed. The blessing of the Lord is upon you. Hallelujah. He will cause you to prosper. He will cause you to move forward. He will cause you to advance in destiny. You will not go under. You will not be limited. You will not be stopped. Your dream, your vision will not be aborted. You are the blessed of the Lord. Can somebody say that with me? I'm the blessed of the Lord. Say it. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And there is nothing the devil or anyone else can do about it. Say that one more time. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And there is nothing the devil or anyone in the world can do about it. Amen. So when you plug into the Lord, by rolling your works over to him and committing the things you do to him, you really give him room. You give room for that blessing covenant to really work. That's part of what happens. When you open things up to the Lord and you say, God, this is yours. I commit this to you. I commit this to you. You really give God room for that blessing covenant to work in your life. That's why he says there, when you roll your works to the Lord, when you commit and trust them wholly to him, he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There are no coincidences in life. As you walk your way with the Lord, because you've committed to him and you've given him free rein, you've given him the authority, the mandate to direct you, to lead you. There are no coincidences. Things will happen, and some of those things might even seem negative, but they are going to work for your good. Everything is going to work for your good. So our place is roll your works to the Lord. Commit them to him. Give him room to work. Amen. And then he will cause your plans to be established and they will succeed. Amen. Verse 9 says, a man's mind, this is the Amplified, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. So yes, our minds are given to us to plan. Our minds are given to us to organize. Our minds are given to us to, you know, do due diligence. Amen. Do your part. But as you do your part, remember that it is the Lord that directs your steps and makes them sure. So even as your mind is planning, even as your mind is organizing, constantly open up to the Lord. Lord, I've planned this. I've worked on this. I've done my part, done due diligence. But Lord, I'm trusting you. You direct my path. You show me the way to go. And the Bible says he will direct your steps and he will make them sure. Amen. Verse 10, we read this last week in some translations. It says, divinely directed decisions are on the lips of the king. His mouth shall not transgress in judgment. One translation says, the king, when he walks in the authority, in divine authority, and he's walking according to the direction that the Lord gave him, he can't make a mistake. Every decision he makes is right. Every decision. So really, walking in the best pathway in life is really hooked up to having divine direction.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then in verse 33 there, you know, if you are an addicted King James Bible reader, there are a lot of scriptures in the Bible that you would never really fully understand. Some people think King James was thrown from heaven directly, and they don't want to read any other version that has been messed up by human inputs. They want the one that the Lord dropped directly from heaven, called King James. No, actually, the Lord didn't drop this one directly from heaven. It was the king of England at the time who authorized the whatever, the publication and the full canonization at that time. And but as times have gone on, the Lord has helped us to be able to go back in that same King James and unravel it and kind of make it more contemporary. So if you read something in a different version that says something not exactly what your King James says, that's not the devil talking. Some people just will not read. And yet for many scriptures, many of the things we read in the King James, we really don't understand. You know, you just think, hey, what is that? Oh, that sounds holy. That sounds really deep. But what does it mean? I don't know. God dropped it from heaven. It just sounds deep. I like it. But what does it mean? I don't know. But this word is supposed to give us light. It's supposed to give us understanding. Any word you can't have understanding from, then we're still missing something. It means we need to dig into it further to unravel it. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So in verse 33, you say, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Yeah. Some people in that generation understood what that meant. But in our generation, sometimes it's difficult. The Amplified says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the decision is wholly of the Lord, wholly of the Lord. Even the events that seem accidental, woo, are really ordered by him. Even the events that seem accidental are really ordered by him. There are no accidents in life for a child of covenant. You are blessed of the Lord. I mean, let's go back and think about Joseph. Joseph in the pit. Joseph in the prison. Joseph. There were no coincidences. It wasn't God who directed the people who threw him in the pit to throw him there, but the blessing, God through the blessing covenant already had a path for him through that prison or through that pit to get to the palace. There are no coincidences in life. When our lives are in God's hands and they are committed, there are no coincidences. Amen. There are no coincidences. He says the events that seem accidental are really ordered by him. I don't know if you know this. I know I've said this on our pulpit in Abundant Life before. The word coincidence does not exist in the Hebrew Bible. The word coincidence, you will never find a word in the Hebrew Bible that is translated coincidence. It does not exist. There are no coincidences in life. Amen. I like some of these other translations. The God's word, it says the dice are thrown, but the Lord determines every outcome. The dice are thrown, but the Lord determines every outcome. Amen. There are no coincidences in life. This may be one word that somebody takes out of this service today. Amen. Although this is just supposed to be like, I'm just passing through this particular street here. I'm not building a house here. I'm just passing through. But somehow, you know, as I got close to service time and looked at it again, you know, I started seeing a foundation there. It's like, wow, it looks like we're building a house here. I wasn't planning to build a house on this street. But there are no coincidences. Somebody may need to hear that. Now, everything that happens in your life, it was not ordained by God. But God, because he is in covenant relationship with you, and because he is almighty and all powerful, he has determined that everything that happens in your life must work for your good. I want you to seal that for a little bit. Everything that happens in your life must work for your good.
Amen.
In the season of COVID, you know, people have lost valuable things, jobs and property, some precious lives.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. But the Bible says everything that happens in the life of a child of God must work for your good.
Amen.
So, you may actually be sitting over a situation that's causing you grief right now. But Jehovah God, he is committed to making sure that even that situation that caused you grief will work for your good. That grief will be temporary. That grief will not last long. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is why you need to get yourself up, wash yourself, go take a good shower, put on your best clothes. In the midst of your greatest trial, in the midst of the greatest difficulty that you experience, always remind yourself, it's working for my good.
Amen.
It's working for my good.
Yeah.
It's working for my good. Remember, you don't have all the power, but God does. And this God who does, he's in covenant relationship with you. He's already committed himself. See, the way you commit to him, he is committed to you. This will work for your good. This will work for your good. I want you to just close your eye for just a minute. Close your eyes for just 1 minute here. Just think about everything going on in your life right now. And I want you to receive assurance in your spirit. Everything is working together for your good. Everything is working together for your good. Everything. Whatever aspect of that experience is not good, the Lord has commanded it must be temporary. It must be temporary. And every aspect of your experience that is good, it must be permanent. Good must produce more good. Good must produce more good in your life. This is how covenant people think. This is how covenant people have to think. We have to think like this. This is not therapy. This is accepting the truth. He said, the Lord is my light. This is the light. Amen. This is the truth Amen. Of the word of God. Amen. I just believe it. Amen. I just believe it. Amen. I just believe it. Amen. If you were supposed to get on a plane and you were going for this event, this was something, maybe it was an interview, you wanted to get this job or whatever it was. And for some crazy reason, you couldn't get on that plane. And you miss your interview. And you didn't get that job. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. If there was a relationship you thought, for sure this was supposed to be it for me. For sure this was supposed to be my destiny. And it did not work out. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. If there's some property, valuable property, investment, anything that you've lost. Amen. Don't sweat it. God has something better on the other side of this. I say God has something better on the other side of this. I don't know about you, but that just gives me an amazing sense of confidence. Just gives me an amazing reassurance in my heart. It's working together for your good. It's working together for your good. Amen. Amen. I think we can move on now. We can move to another street. Yeah, the Lord, I don't know, the Lord really quickened this scripture in my spirit. The NLT says, we may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they will fall. Things as unpredictable, things as subject to chance as dice. The Bible says even when the dice are thrown, the Lord still determines the outcome.
Yes.
If he needed to come up 6-3-2, and you know all the probabilities, all the infinitesimal possibilities of how those dice could actually end up, because the Lord is in it, it will come up 6-3-2 for you. There are just no coincidences there. The Lord will see to it. He rose, he rose, he rose, he will come up with 6. He rose, he rose, he rose, he will come up with 3. He rose, he rose, he rose, he will come up with 2. Why? Because the Lord is in covenant with you. It has to work for your good. This has to work for your good. You have to understand, life is so unpredictable. Life is so unpredictable. Life is like throwing a dice in so many ways. Like, you know, you get into this, you don't know how it's going to work out. You step into this, you don't know what's going to happen. You get into that, you don't know what's going to come out of it. A lot of things in life are unpredictable. But God said, I have determined it will all work together for your good. I want you to walk away from this service. If that's all you get, I want you to walk away with that confidence. It's working together for your good. Amen. Hallelujah. The ERV, that's the last one I'm going to read here. The ERV, easy to read. It said, people might throw lots to make a decision, but the answer always comes from the Lord. The answer always comes from the Lord. Did I say that was the last one I was going to read? Now I should read the message. The message is really good. The message is good. For our elections, I think this is, you know, any election, godly believers ought to pray. Play your part. Pray. Seek the Lord. This is so important. Every time, you know, you have a role to play in the direction of any nation, especially if your nation is democratic. There are nations in the world where there's no democracy. But, you know, if your nation is democratic and, you know, as a believer, you do have a part to play. Your first role is pray. Seek the Lord. Amen. What is the Lord saying? You know, what's the light the Lord is giving you? Don't stereotype anything. Don't go by, I've touched on a few little things here and there. You know, it's very easy, you know, to stereotype life. No, but don't stereotype it. Actually, with an open heart, go before the Lord. Lord, what are you saying? Don't just say, well, I heard on the TV, my favorite TV host, he said this. No, that's not good enough. You ask the Lord, let him give you light. Well, the reason that light is important is because you are going to enter into that polling booth, or you are going to mail in a ballot, if that's what you're doing, whatever you're doing. And you have to pick someone. Down, you have to, you know, whether it's for president or senate or congress, or you have to pick. And those choices can be based on all the noise. You've got to talk with the Lord, have a conversation with the Lord, right? Do your part, pray. Amen. Right now, after you've done your part, then pray more. See, because the whole nation is in the hands of the Lord. God has a plan. He has an agenda. He always does. Amen. For every season, God always has a plan. And sometimes we get it wrong just because we are not seeking him with an open heart. We ought to do that. We ought to go before him with an open heart. Now, when you've done your part and you've prayed, relax then. Relax. And expect that no matter what happens, God's choice will be established.
Amen.
Now listen to what the Message translation says. This is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. Make your motions and cast your votes, but God has the final say. Make your motions and cast your votes, but God has the final say. See, at the end of the day, you're going to trust the Lord after you've done your part. Lord, you have the final say. You put the people that represent your agenda in this season, you put them in position, in power. And don't be bamboozled by anything, whether it's on the left or on the right. let the light of the Lord shine upon your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just so blessed by the amazing plan that the Lord has for us. I'm so excited about it. Amen. So that was our journey through Proverbs chapter 16. And in Proverbs chapter 16, we learned quite a few things there. Now, before my time hurries away here, there are two things I want to touch on the rest of this service. The first one is I want us to talk about, very briefly, because we've talked about this over the months already. We said, what is the key to receiving divine direction? What's that word?
Commit.
Thank you. Commit. Galal. Thank you. There is a second key. It's not less important. There's a second key. It works hand in hand with committing. And we've talked about this actually through the months. Earlier on in 2020. And I want us to talk about that very briefly. I just want to mention it only because I've spent a lot of time talking about this already in some of our services. And then after that, I want us to start talking about the particulars of receiving divine direction, the channels that God uses. I want us I'm just going to get into it briefly, introduce it, and I'm going to come back to it in subsequent services. And I want us to identify the three major channels through which God gives us divine direction, divine guidance. You know, it's very important. This is really, this is very important. If you ask the Lord how he would want to lead every believer, how he want to lead us in every circumstance, every situation of life, the Lord has his number one preference. He has his number one preference. This is how the Lord would like to lead us every time we need to make a decision, every time we need guidance, and every time we need direction, every time we need light and all of that. Unfortunately, that primary preference the Lord has is dimmed out for most of us believers in our world. And the reason it's dimmed out is because there's a lot of noise. We live at a time when there's so much noise. It's just noise, 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 noise. It's just, I mean, even amongst the people who are ministering the word, you know, sometimes if you're not careful, a lot of this can be noise rather than light or direction. So there's just so much, so much. And in our generation, you know, we're so distracted. It's very difficult to focus. Very difficult. So because of that, number one, the preferred way of the Lord giving us direction, a lot of times we can't get it. We can, but we just, most of us are not able to get it because there's too much noise. Well, like I shared this story of Elijah in the mouth of the cave when the Lord told him, go stand in there. And the Bible says there was earthquake and there was fire. And then there was a still small voice. And, you know, in the earthquake, he thought that's God for sure. In the fire, I thought that's God for sure. But really, God was in the still small voice. But all that noise is so difficult many times to hear the still small voice. Many, many times the word of God is there. The light is there. The direction is there. But there's just, you know, starting from our minds, we're so, you know, we're so anxious, we're worried, we're this, and then we're hearing so many. And there's never been a time when the mind of man has been bombarded with as much information as in our generation. It's never been a time. There's constant information bombarding our mind. Constant, constant, constant. That's why you've heard me say this. I have nothing against social media. I love it. I believe that it's part of our way of interacting and so many benefits to it. And especially this time, you know, you just need to, you know, we need to be around one another, interact and all of this great stuff. It's good. I just feel, though, that we also need to be careful not to become overwhelmed by it, to take an overdose of it, you know. Because when you're just constantly in there, that still small voice, you can't hear it. You can't hear that still small voice. And so, anyhow, because of the way our lives are, because of the way our generation is, and because of the way our society is, and because of the way our times are, there are these other ways that the Lord has made possible for us to also know his direction. This is part of why it's really a blessing to get around the word periodically. You know, that no one should take away from us, right? Just get there, even once a week, twice a week, however many times. You know, just get around the word, because every time you hear the word, light comes. No matter what's going on in the world out there, every time you hear the word of God, light comes. Light always comes. You can be feeling heavy, but when you get around the word, God has a way of dissipating all that heaviness. Amen. I mean, in all of our lives, I'm sure we can testify. We can attest to this. There might be times when you're just confused, depressed, upset, and you get around the word. Maybe somebody is speaking the word, or you are hearing it some way or the other, you are reading it, and something just happens. And all of that upset just goes away. All of that confusion just melts. All of that depression just flies out of the window. So the word of God is really awesome. Amen. Amen. And so we'll talk a little bit about these three channels. But like I said, I want to talk very briefly about this second key to receiving divine guidance. What is this second key? Is meekness. Having the spirit of meekness and humility. Having the spirit of meekness and humility. How many people remember that we've talked a lot about this year? Being meek just simply means we are teachable. It means we are leadable. And it means we are not easily irritable. That's what it means to be meek. We are teachable, we are leadable, and we are not easily irritable. I want you to look at Psalms 25. It's very close to where we are right now. The 25th Psalm. The 25th Psalm. Hallelujah. the 25th Psalm, and I want you to look at verse 12. It says, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall not inherit the earth." His seed shall inherit the earth. "The secret of the Lord," verse 14, "is with them that fear him," and he will do what? "He will show them his covenant." Psalms 25, verse 14, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." In the previous verse, it says, "His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth." He says, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." Hallelujah. The Lord makes his covenant available to people that are meek. The Lord makes his covenant, his direction, available to those that are humble. I want you to back up a little bit to verse 8 of Psalm 25. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he will teach sinners in the way." Verse 9, "The meek will he guide." Somebody say the word with me, "the meek." Somebody say the word "meek." Say "the meek." Say "the meek." "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. In the Amplified, it says, "He leads the humble in what is right, and the humble he teaches his way." The humble, the humble, the humble. Meekness is required, is a key requirement for receiving direction. Being humble. Why is this so essential? The meekness, the attitude of meekness enables us to come before the Lord every time, admitting that we don't have the answers. I don't know what way to go here. I don't know what way to go. I'm not sure how the Lord wants me to do whatever I need to do. That's why this makes the scripture in Proverbs chapter 3 extremely important. We read that scripture already. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And do what? "Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways," do what? "Acknowledge him." And then what would happen? "He will direct your path." Now, what are we seeing in Proverbs 3? When you trust in the Lord with all your heart and you lean not on your own understanding, we interpret that as meekness. We interpret that as meekness. "I don't know it all." There's a translation that says, I think it's a message. Say, because you don't know it all. I accept and I admit before the Lord, I don't have the answers, right? And then he says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him." To acknowledge the Lord, and the original of that scripture, to acknowledge actually means to seek intimacy with God. It means to seek a closeness, to seek a direct, intimate contact with the Lord. That's what it means. Amen. The word to have knowledge is the word yada. It means to know deeply and intimately. And when that Scripture says, acknowledge him in all your ways. Acknowledge him. It means to seek intimate contact with God in everything you do. Amen. Why? Because I don't know the answers. I don't have it. It's a spirit of humility that makes me admit to the Lord, I don't have it. I don't know the answer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know, in our society, one of the most difficult things for people to do is to admit they don't know? Do you know this? Do you know this? People take admitting they don't have the answer. A lot of people interpret that to mean it's a weakness. It's not a weakness, it's strength.
Amen.
It's not a weakness to admit you don't know when you don't know.
Amen.
It is actually a weakness to claim you know when you don't. It's a weakness that can break you, that can destroy you. It's a weakness that will lead you down the drain of destruction to claim you know when you don't. It's nothing wrong with saying, I don't have the answer. I don't know the answer to that. And yet in our society, we're all supposed to know. Everybody's. Have you noticed teenagers know more than their parents? Have you noticed that? Somebody was telling me how they had issues with their teenager, and this ended up being real big issues. And the beginning of the problem was the teenager kept saying to the parent that the times are different, Mom. This is different from when you were a teenager, Mom. No, Dad, these times are different. Times are different now, Mom. That's the beginning of a fall. See, because to admit somebody has walked that road before you and they know some things you don't know is safety.
Mm-hmm.
It's safety.
Mm-hmm.
It's safety. To be willing to accept that, yeah, on my journey, I haven't experienced everything. But some people have experienced things I haven't. And it's actually wisdom for me to learn from them. That is safety, my friends. And that's why the Bible says, the meek he will teach in the way. Why? Because he finds in the meek, he finds in the humble a willingness to be led. God cannot lead a proud person. God could never lead a proud person. Now, I also want to just clarify. Again, this is another street. I didn't think I was going to stay here long, build a house, but I can see the foundation coming up. It is very important to keep in mind. See, when we talk about humility, generally, again, in our society, we tend to equate personality, demeanor, appearance with meekness and humility. They have nothing to do with one another. The fact that somebody, they say, you know, have you heard the expression, oh, if you put butter in his mouth, he won't melt, doesn't mean he's humble. Some of the most quiet people on earth are some of the most stubborn people on earth. Do you know that? One of the proofs, one of the evidences of meekness and humility is flexibility, being malleable, willingness to turn, willingness to change, willingness to move in a different direction from what you want to do. Meekness is a grace. Meekness is a strength. One word that the Bible uses very strongly for the word meekness is to be agreeable. To be agreeable. To be agreeable. People think that's a weakness. It's not a weakness. It's not a weakness to give up ground. Like, you know, it's not a husband and wife. I don't know how many couples are listening to me online today or, you know, just look straight in the your TV, don't. That's right. You know what? You know, there's this stigma in our society. Like, you know, if I give up ground, if I let him or if I let her lead, you know, I'm weak. No, you are not weak. No, you're not weak. Sometimes, you know, everything doesn't have to be a deal breaker. Everything doesn't have to be a deal breaker. Some things, your husband is here, so you better. just whatever you need to say, just say it inside, okay? The Lord is ministering to us here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm telling you some of the reasons why we falter in receiving direction. I'm telling you one of the things that make it easier for us to receive direction. Amen. To have a heart and a mind that is open and yielded and flexible is very powerful. It's very powerful. Because, you know, everything doesn't have to be a deal breaker in life. Some things, you know, you just let it go. All right, just let it go. Maybe you don't really like it. It's not really your cup. That's not how you would have done it. Blah, blah. All right, just let it go. We don't have to fight over everything. Amen. See, these are some of the reasons why we sometimes find it difficult to get direction. When we are so set in our ways, it's dangerous to be stubborn. It's very dangerous to be stubborn. The first king that God picked for Israel, for his people, God picked that man. It wasn't a mistake. God picked that man. The Bible says he was a head above. What's that description? Help me. The English was a head above shoulders. Or, that's how God describes Saul. Like, you know, he wasn't just tall. His countenance was appealing. When he was first called, the Bible says he went to hide. They say went to hide. He was that kind of person who wasn't seeking the limelight. He had all the traits of seeming meekness and humility. And the Lord called him to be the first king over Israel. But it didn't take long. The Lord said, I want you to go and execute judgment over this particular nation. And God gave them specific instructions. The Lord didn't say, I want you to think about it. Whatever makes sense to you, I'd like you to do. The Lord didn't say that. He said, for this particular, and there's a reason. See, we don't understand the reason why the Lord says everything, but there is always a reason behind it. In Saul's own time, in Saul's generation, he probably couldn't understand, why would God have us go just destroy an entire nation? The Amalekites, why? You know, what have they done? And here he is, the Lord gave him direct instructions and he's processing everything. And so he picked and he chose. He did something, he did what appealed to his mind. And the rest of it, he thought, well, this doesn't, you know, we'll just do it the way we want to. He saved the king. And when the prophet came, said, did you do what the Lord said for you to do? You wiped out the whole nation. Yeah, we did. The prophet said, so what is this sound I'm hearing? Of sheep. What is this? And these are strange sheep. These are not Israeli sheep. You know, sheep. American sheep sound different from African sheep. No, dogs. Truly, I've heard dogs bark in the United States, and I've had dogs bark in different other parts of the world. They don't sound exactly the same. Yeah, it's woof, but the woof is different. I think you think I'm, but it's true. I mean, how many dogs have you seen? One day I was, you know, walking. I saw a dog in a Lexus. Dog in a Lexus in the front seat with the windows down, and the dog was out leaping with his ears blowing in the wind, and he was up with his tongue yapping, yapping, yapping. Here I was walking on the ground, on the, you know, and the dog was as happy. Have you seen this ad I think it's one of these investment organizations that run this ad. You know, don't let a dog have a better life than you. You know, and they show these dogs on the yacht, and they're having fun. And here's the person who's serving around, and you know, he's looking at all the dogs with all their wealth and all the enjoyment. I mean, life is different for dogs in America, my friend. I'm serious. There you go. So, you know, the Lord said, well, you've killed everyone. You said you did everything I told you to. What is the sound? He said, oh, well, we didn't think you needed us to kill all the sheep. And the king, too, you know, I kind of just figured that you didn't really mean the king. It was a problem. Because even though he seemed humble at the beginning, the elements of his stubbornness, his lack of humility and his lack of meekness started to show. You know, the Lord, the Bible says, looks at the heart, not the outward appearance. And one of the reasons why the Lord entrusts divine direction to the meek is because he knows they have what it takes to be good stewards of his leadership. You know how Saul ended up. And one of the times they were going to do an annual sacrifice of animals. And this was something only the prophet was allowed to do. But when all the people got around Saul and the pressure started. You remember those things that create pressures? The pressure started, and Samuel didn't show up on time. And Saul said, well, what are we going to do? The prophet isn't here. Well, I'll just take the place of the prophet. He went and took on the garment of the prophet and started doing the sacrifice. And when the prophet came, he said, what have you done, Saul? He said, well, we waited on you, the people. He said, The people were putting me under pressure. They said, let's get it going. Let's get it going. And so I sacrificed. Samuel said to Saul, God has rejected you. You've rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord has rejected you from being king. See, why am I building a house here on this tree? I didn't plan to spend this much time here. Humility and meekness is one of the things that enables the Lord to stir us. You know, a car that is in park, that car that is stationary, that is in park, is very difficult to stir. If you don't believe me, get in a car, in your car, and just where you are in that one spot, don't drive it, just turn the steering wheel. Well, now we have power steering, so it might be easier. But you'll find out, as the car gets in motion, it's actually much easier to stir that car, to stir that wheel. And the spirit of meekness and humility is one of the things that enables the Lord to direct us. What is the first key to receiving divine direction? Commit. What is the second key to receiving divine direction? Meekness. Meekness and humility. Meekness and humility. I think it's a good place to stop. Hallelujah. I said, I think it's a good place to stop. Amen. You know, I started out the service talking about the blessing of the Lord, and I want to close out there. And I think it was on Wednesday that I said, you can equate the blessing of the Lord with grace. Anywhere you see grace, you can equate it with blessing. They are one and the same. It is grace that produces the blessing. Amen. Well, do you know how we qualify for grace? Do you know how and why the Lord gives us grace? I want you to look at this last scripture here as we close out here. Look at James chapter 4. I'm going to read these two last scriptures, James chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 5. James chapter 4. And look at verse 5 there. It says, do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? He says in verse 5, but he gives more grace. I told you, you can equate that word grace with blessing. So you can read that line as he gives more blessing. Why? It says, therefore he said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God gives blessings. He gives grace to the humble. Stubbornness is not a virtue. Let me look straight in the camera and speak to someone just before I close out here. You know, there are people who even boast, I'm just stubborn. That is not godly. To be stubborn, the Bible describes that in certain parts of the scripture as being stiff-necked. That's dangerous. You know what it means for a neck to be stiff? It means if you turn it, it's going to break. It's not a virtue to be stubborn. It's not a virtue to be stubborn. Don't pride yourself. You know, I'm just stubborn. Yeah, in our family, I'm the stubborn one. I'm the one who's stubborn. I'm the one who has my way all the time. You know, that's not a virtue. Being stubborn can be a hindrance to the Lord giving you direction. He says he gives grace to the humble. Then he said in the next verse, verse 7, submit yourselves to God. Why? Resist the devil, and then what would happen? He will flee from you. And then he says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will do what? He will lift you up. The Amplified says, humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you, and he will lift you up and make your life significant. When you are in the presence of the Lord, Lord, I don't know. Lord, I'm leaning on you. I'm trusting in you. I'm not depending on me. I'm not depending on me. I don't have all the answers. God, I'm committing this to you. I'm waiting on you. Show me the way to go. Guide me. Lead me. Instruct me, Lord. It's not my way, but your way. I don't want my way. I want your way. When you make yourself insignificant before the Lord, the Bible says he will make your life significant. Amen. He will make your life significant. Let's close out in 1 Peter 5. One of the ways in which you express humility is being willing to commit your life to the Lord. Is being willing to give him the concerns that you have, the anxieties that you have. Is being willing to give him the issues of your life and trust him with them. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. So that he may do what? So that he may exalt you. So that he may exalt you. I've done extensive teaching on the spirit of meekness, and I definitely don't want to have myself repeating some of the things that I've said. But, you know, humility is a blessing. Yes, it is. Humility is a blessing. And I've got to say this, don't just read it in the word and agree with it. Actually, train yourself. Train yourself to put on. Every one of us needs this training. Every one of us. Every one of us. And in this generation in which we live, I've told you, even teenagers teach their parents now. Hallelujah. Teenagers teach their parents. Thank God we've been so blessed not to have that experience. But these are very common things in the world. Children insist. You find young people leaving home and insisting on what they want to do. No, this is what I'm going to do. This is exactly what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And those things never end up well. We have to train ourselves in humility. We have to train ourselves. It's tough on the flesh. is difficult on the flesh. But the more we expose ourselves to it, the more we, you know, just train yourself. You say, how do I train myself, Pastor? Sometimes just make yourself do something that you don't feel like doing that somebody else wants you to do. Like, I don't have anybody in my life who wants your husband, your wife. Just listen to what they want you to do that you don't want them to, that you don't want to do. Honey, I don't feel like I'm, just please don't, Pastor Tino, don't make me do this. I don't feel like cooking. I don't have the grace for cooking. Just. Did you, I hope you heard the big amen on the camera. It was a deep wall. It came from deep down. It was deep and anointed. The prayer was there before I spoke it out. You just make yourself do something that you don't feel like doing, but that somebody wants you to do. And train yourself. And from time to time, just yield. Learn to yield. All of us need this training. All of us. And the more yielded we are, the more flexible we are, the more meek we are, the less stubborn we are, the easier it is for God to steer us. The easier it is for God. God knows if he taps on your shoulder and says, son, daughter, this is what I want you to do. He knows you are not going to say, I'm stubborn. Because you are growing in meekness. You are growing in humility. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Did you receive something in this service? Hallelujah. Say with me, I'm meek. I'm humble. Therefore, the Lord is blessing me. He's giving me more and more grace. More and more grace. I see myself as insignificant in his presence. I'm a nobody without the Lord. It is the Lord that makes me everything that I am. It is the grace of God that makes me everything that I am. Without the grace of God, I am a nobody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you. Would you stand, please? We honor you today for your word. We thank you, Father, for your mighty presence, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your grace to receive your word. Thank you, Father God, for your grace to hear it. Thank you, God, for your grace to embrace it, Lord, to not resist it. Thank you for your grace to be willing, God, to be willing to be open to it, to be willing to do what it says, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace. Everybody, wherever you are today, wherever you are under the sound of my voice, here in our studio, online, wherever you are, I want you to ask God now. Just yield, humble yourself before him. Humble yourself and ask God for more grace for humility, more grace for meekness, more grace for flexibility, more grace. Lord, I present myself before you. I ask you, God, for the willingness, Lord, to be flexible, the willingness, Lord God, to be malleable, the willingness, Father, to be easy to stare, easy to turn, easy to lead, easy to be taught, easy to be directed, Father. I receive that grace in my life. I receive that grace. I recognize being meek and humble is not a personality. Lord, is a fruit of the Spirit. I want more of that fruit in my life. God, I receive grace today. Lord, as I begin to expose myself more and more and more and more to that grace, Lord, that grace will produce in my life, that grace will produce in my life. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for your mighty word that you've spoken to us. We give you praise, O God, for the light of God that we've received in this service. As we close it out, God, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, all of my brothers and sisters, everyone and their loved ones today. Your word says we are blessed, we cannot be cursed. Father God, all of this week, we are looking, God, to enter and enjoy more of our covenant of blessing with you. God, we're looking to rise. We're looking to be lifted. We're looking to grow in the grace of God. We yield to you today. We heard your word, Father, and we are not going to harden our hearts to it. We're not going to shut our minds to it. We're not going to talk about being stubborn and being hard and being difficult. No, we are not. We're not stubborn. We're not hard. We're not difficult. Lord, we are meek. We are humble. We are leadable. We are teachable. We are nothing without you. We are insignificant without you. So we lean on you, oh God, that you make our lives significant. We lean on you, Father, that you do a mighty work in our lives. We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the praise, oh God. We bless and we magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise today. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.